Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
He was sitting on his couch in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. Can he tie the game with 34 seconds left? No! It's short! Texans fall to 6-5.
But I can't be really sad. Because you see, life's a game. You sometimes win or lose. And though I may be down right now, at least I don't work for
John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Stupid open is that? Frank's back, apparently. He was off yesterday, right?
He wasn't off. I'll give you some ammunition for Frank. That was supposed to be yesterday's open, judging by the soundbite, but yeah. It was in his drafts, and he forgot to send it.
Ah. Oh, Frank. Nice job. Nice work ethic.
Had it in his draft.
Congratulations. Well, you weren't here yesterday anyway, so it didn't matter.
I almost called to just say when I was headed to the airport, because the only reason I didn't work is that the only flight I could get out was at 11 Eastern time, 10 Central. So, and I had Madi with me. So Madi ended up, we canceled her flight and moved it to...
Only you and Madi went up there?
No, the whole family did, but Alec went to the... Only me, Alec, and Madi went to the game. That went over great with snacks.
Why didn't snacks go?
Sebastian, the lifelong Colts fan, he goes, I'm really glad that all the big Colts fans are getting to go like Monty.
Well, why didn't he get to go?
Well, because he has 27 tardies
And
a bunch of zeros that he didn't turn in. So he couldn't miss Monday. We couldn't get out of Indianapolis on Sunday night after the game. There was no flight. So you would have had to come Monday and miss Monday school. He's not in a position where he can miss any school or time in class now. So my wife let him know, this is not Monty's fault that she gets to go.
It's your fault.
So Madi and Mason and my wife flew back on Saturday
to avoid those Sunday practices. Madi, how can Madi be late to class when she's homeschooled?
Yeah.
I know.
So you don't know what she would be.
Yeah, she might sleep in every day. And Nicole lets her. Okay.
There's zero chance of that.
Okay.
But I can tell you this, that's already a very sore subject at school. I mean, at the house, that Madi got to go watch the Colts when that's his team. And I said, Madi's been cheering for the Colts this whole time. He goes, really? Name five defensive players now, Madi. And I want starters. You can't name backups. How's she going to name Colts backups? And she goes, well, okay. Darius Leonard. He goes, first of all, it's Shaquille Leonard. And no, he's cut. God.
Oh no!
It was good though. We stayed there and had Thanksgiving there, and they had 29 people in their house for Thanksgiving.
29 people.
They did two fried turkeys and a spatchcock smoke. Ballard's son is a wizard on that Memphis grill. Like this kid's. I brought a tomahawk and some seasoning. I thought I'm gonna show him how to do a little grilling, and he was like, "Wow, this kid is good." His turkey, I totally changed my opinion on if it's really done well. The fried turkeys were perfect, and that spatchcock smoked turkey was unbelievable. And we had Tyquan Lewis and Muhammad Al-Qadin, and then Grover Stewart. And Mason, like he's always Mason can make friends or just start talking to anybody. And honestly, if Dan Lanning were here, I'd be sorry. Nick Saban. I'll go to Nick Saban and Kirby Smart were in a room. He would immediately walk up to him. What size shoes are those? I need to get some of those. That's what he did to. He goes, why don't you give me those shoes? He was telling a player that. They go, what? And then before you know it, they're talking and Mason's dapping them up. And they said, he goes, I'm going with you, little bro. Mason told, I'm going with you, little bro.
We're going to go. A player that?
Yes. And they go, come on. They go, come on there, big bro. You coming with us? And I'm like, how does Mason do this?
That's great.
And Mason's got that kind of skill. Like I said, Mason, this is more important than physics.
What?
Learning to talk to people. Here's the secret.
Well, no, physics is kind of important too, like to graduate. Okay, so
yes,
there's that.
Yes, yes, there's but that. It's actually okay. Not as so I was at the Colts game.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, he was at Chris Ballard's house
in the Thanksgiving, and we so it was a good time. Stephen Walker and his longtime friends Chris Ballard's from Texas City, grew up here his whole life, and a huge Astros fan. He's got Astros gear at the house. Rockets. We talked a lot of Rockets, but I'm up in the suite where they sit, and I'm sitting where I can see Colts game here, but I got Texans, so I'm watching Texans. I'm trying not to be too obvious because I don't want to make it look bad, but I'm trying to watch Texans Jaguars too. So I got to watch most of that game, and I'll say I didn't get to say this. This is the first time that I felt like C.J. Stroud tried to play a lot of hero ball. In that one late in that game where the dump off and move forward, Bobby Slowick, I can't wait for Thursday when somebody asks him, hey, about that 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 call. There were passes, and CJ took a deeper pass, but you got to run it. You just got to get first down and move on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure y'all talked about that. Did y'all talk about that specific set of play calls where it got 3rd and 1, 4th and 1?
And he threw down the field, yeah.
Yeah, yes, and they didn't move the ball. Like, I thought...
Well, and when he threw it on 3rd down and then they're huddling up for 4th down, I was like, and because this is not hindsight, I'm like, if it's 3rd and 1 and you know you're going for it on 4th and 1, run the damn ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Run
the damn
ball.
I know you
hadn't
run well, but my gosh, just run the ball when you're not getting a jammed up look. You could have run it from 3 wide receivers set if you wanted to. You could have, and maybe it's not a slow developing play. Maybe it's just a quarterback sneak, but. Because CJ's not a small guy, but run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Run the ball, get the first down. I think Bobby Slowick, in hindsight, and I think you have to be careful of the questions to ask. You don't want to, like, did you learn something? He's a first year, he's a rookie play caller. CJ Stroud's a rookie quarterback, and we talk about he's got to learn. Well, you can't expect your rookie play caller. You have to understand, he's doing, this is his first time for him doing it, too.
Well, and he's admitted when he's made bad calls.
He admitted early in the season, and I bet he looks back at this and says, because I'll never – just on TV, watching D'Amico's face after – now, D'Amico's pretty stoic anyway, but after that 3rd down pass, D'Amico had a very serious look on his face, and I just thought, he can't be happy about this.
No.
I mean, he can't be happy about 2 passes, and they're out on the 4th down. But you still had their chances. But, I mean, just C.J. Stroud took some bad sacks that he's got to get rid of. The one where man was in his face and he could just throw it at the running back's – feet on that screen, and he didn't do it and took the sack. That was a bad one. I think, he probably learned, but he tried to play a little bit too much hero ball. But, it was a good game against Jacksonville relative to, they both, that you came back and played better. Another 100-yard game for Nico Collins. I thought the defense made some, I like what I saw again from not so much Tavier Thomas on that one drive, but certainly...
Well, Tavier Thomas was on Kirk at the end of the half as well. Mm-hmm. Tavier Thomas had a really, really rough game.
Yeah, he had a rough game. He doesn't usually, but he did that time. Another good game from Stingley. I thought solid game from Stingley. And then, you had Steven Nelson making a huge play.
Yeah.
He's made a few of those, but Stingley's really encouraging.
Yeah.
Stingley's really encouraging.
And Nelson made a play at the end of the Arizona game to save the game, which was really nice. No, Stingley's playing pretty well.
I mean, your defense gave you a chance, actually, this time. They gave you a chance to come back and win the game.
Except for the 4 40-yard plays.
Well, yeah. I mean, just at the end of the game, the very end of the game. Yeah. Well, you had this Ridley where – who was chasing Ridley? Who was in man there?
What
is Steven Nelson? When really the catch and run, or that wasn't the third. I think that was maybe.
Yeah, no. Well, they did give you a chance because after you went for it on 3rd and 4th down, throwing the ball deep, they stopped them. Yeah. And you got the ball back. And with 5 minutes to go, under 5 minutes to go, you scored and made it a 3-point game. And then, well, what did you think of going for a 58-yard field goal with a kicker that you just cut now?
Well, so he cut Aaron Wilson said it may be procedural where they bring him back, I guess.
I guess they're a practice
squad. He barely made the extra point early in the game. He barely made one of the extra points.
One.
Missed a field goal. I don't think he's your best option. Actually, Ballard had a man, gave him a tryout, and I said something about him missing. He goes, oh, he's got big leg. He said he's got cannon, but he said he's all over the place.
Big leg? He's never hit one over 50 yards.
Well, I don't know if he's ever had the opportunity, how many he's had. He had enough leg for it. A 60-yarder he hit, or 58-yarder, he hit the crossbar. So it was, I thought it was better than going for it on 4th and 12, honestly.
I didn't. I'd much rather have it in CJ's hands than a guy who's never kicked a 50-yarder, let alone a 58-yarder.
If he had come up way short or just hooked it left. Now, he hadn't exactly kicked with – he didn't inspire confidence in that game before that kick. But I got to say, he struck it pretty well. It was straight. I mean, he actually hit it pretty good. They got themselves – CJ got him in some trouble taking that sack, and they got themselves in a little bit
of
trouble.
Well, that second – I mean – I'm not blaming CJ for that second sack. I mean, goodness, Josh Allen, goodness gracious.
Well, what do you think about the third down where he's scrambling? Well, he's not even scrambling. He's just moving. There's not one running back you could dump off to for a three-yard gain?
Yeah. Well, no, on third down?
Yeah. Because he's scrambling, moving, right, moving, left, moving. And then he almost gets sacked and throws it wildly.
And then
they try the field goal. That was the third down.
Well, that was
the
third down play.
Just dump it down.
Well, first of all, was anybody even open on the route? You know what? He didn't play on time all day. You're right. He didn't play on time all day. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, he was still looking down the field. Mm-hmm. To his credit, he made a lot of plays with his legs.
It wasn't bad. I didn't think he was bad. He just wasn't
yards,
on time.
26 to 36, 304, and two touchdowns.
When he was on time, it was good.
You know what was bad? Josh Dobbs. Okay?
Why you got to bring Josh Dobbs
well,
in?
Well, I mean, if you're going to say, you know, you're going to criticize. He was 300 yards, 26 to 36, with two touchdowns and no interceptions. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, bring Jack in. I think I'm interested to see what he says. I may have an answer for him if he says what he says. What's Jack, how you doing?
Yeah, hey. I don't think it was brought up yesterday. And first and foremost, obviously play calling was bad. That's the reason we lost the game. However, on the final drive, Nico Collins gets to the 39-yard line on a pass. They set the ball in the 39. The third down pass is incomplete. When they run out the kicker, they moved the ball to the 40-yard line. I went back and watched I saw this online. I went back and watched the video, and that's exactly what happened. How often does that happen?
Let me check.
Shouldn't the chains stay where they're at?
No, I got to check and see what happened there. I thought at one point it was third and ninth. Did I miss a penalty of some sort where the Jaguars were penalized? I thought it was like third and 19 at one point or second and 19.
No, I mean, the final drive those downs, that didn't happen. But go back and watch.
I'm going to go check.
The ball set on the 39-yard line for the third down. And on the fourth down kick, the ball is on the 40.
Okay, now I was asked this by Jane Slater, said her boyfriend asked this, and she sent a text. So usually a ball is spotted seven yards.
Who's Jane Slater's boyfriend?
I don't know. He's just some.
Oh.
I don't know why I said that, but Jane Slater from NFL.
Yeah, like, is he famous?
No, he's just, I don't know. Oh, I think he played at Iowa, actually.
Well, how long have they been going out?
Are they in a committed relationship?
Yeah, how long have they been going out? And how are you sure it's her boyfriend?
Yeah, she said that.
She said, my boyfriend said this?
My BF, yeah.
How long have they been going out? It could have been best friends.
Did she check in with him to make sure he thinks he's her boyfriend?
Yeah. I mean, is she being reckless with the...
Maybe that's the guy who's not looking for that label right now.
I wasn't prepared to answer. I'm going to have to get more information from her.
Tell Jane the guys you work with on the show aren't sure that he is her boyfriend, and we need more information.
Well, you want to make sure that they both are on the same understanding of what the relationship is.
We want to hear it from him.
Yes, okay. Because maybe she's just speaking out of turn about what this guy's commitment level is.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for all this, but I'll check in with this.
Okay.
But apparently the ball was spotted 8 yards back.
What's his name, do you know?
Jack, I think.
Okay.
Is it the guy on the phone?
Jack, yeah.
Okay.
The ball was spotted 8 yards back instead of seven. You know how in the deep snap you spot it seven? It's always 10 plus seven is 17. Well, it was eight, and her boyfriend mentioned, did the Texans screw that up and cost the game? Because they were
one more yard would have gotten it over.
And the answer is, when you have a kick that long, a lot of times the team will, because you got to drive it.
Right,
and
right,
drive
right.
kicks are lower.
Right.
And so to keep it from getting block, sometimes teams will, and kickers who hit the ball low, you'll give it one extra yard.
So apparently her boyfriend doesn't know much about football. This is what you're saying.
Is well, he played in Iowa.
Was he a holder?
When does Iowa kick 50-yard field goals?
He doesn't know much about
every
offense.
Every time, because all they get to.
No, if you
they
seen,
get safeties.
No, you've seen Kurt Ferentz. They're punting from they're like punting. 30, the
yeah,
35.
They're not kicking from
they're
52.
They're not kicking field goals.
You got to punt and play defense.
Play
what
defense.
Are you talking
special
about?
Special teams and defense.
He's probably been 6 50-yard field goals in his career, and that's all at the end of the game.
Wait a minute. Did he just graduate? Chase Slater's a little – is this a December-May relationship?
No, he played a while back. Although she's older than him, I think, by like right, two or three up. Years. Yeah.
He may not know a lot about offense at Iowa. Huh.
No.
No.
Huh.
He doesn't know a lot about scoring.
No. Well.
No.
Well, I mean.
Well, if they're boyfriend and girlfriend, he might.
You got to ask Jane about the scoring thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Dad.
Wow.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to take a look
ask
at
ask all those questions of Miss Slater.
But first, talk about Craig DeSerre.
She can't believe that she became part of the first segment. Craig, hey, so I'm driving a Chevy Silverado right now, and who do I see right there in the Bluetooth? So my wife's car is in the shop. She's got to get a repair because she blasted off the window encasement on her side mirror, but not window, but on a side mirror. And anyway, so she's driving my car. I'm driving the loaner. The loaner is a Chevy Silverado. I go on the Bluetooth to put my phone on. It says Troy Snitker's blue iPhone. I'm like, shit, I don't know if I want to take his iPhone off because I see he's jacked up and I don't want to, you know, I don't feel like him swinging on me about something like this. And yet he was one of the ones driving over. It's not a surprise. There's Astros who a lot of Astros have driven vehicles and have purchased vehicles from Craig DeSerre out in Angleton. He does the best deals and you don't have to play second base. You don't have to play shortstop. They have had vehicles from Craig DeSerre, but you can just be a guy on a mail route, or you can be someone who works in a business office. You can be anybody and get a great vehicle from Craig DeSerre and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And the Chevy Silverado, I'm driving it now, phenomenal pickup truck. Phenomenal. The way it handles, the way it drives, how smooth it is. You need to check it out for yourself. Go online to LandZCars.com and take advantage. Red Tag Sale is only going on for a few more days, so take advantage of it right now. Purchase, lease, whatever you're looking for, they've got trade-in value that's going to be higher than anyone else, and the customer service is off the charts. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Shop online at LandZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
You're the only one left of the Wayne family. This is where you belong. Welcome home.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I got a little
announcement. Hold on, this dude is right. Jack was right.
They spotted it on the 40?
Look at this.
Wow, that is.
Hold on, watch this. He catches it, and Robert Woods gets past the 40, and you can see the angle.
Well, that's Nico.
It's definitely the 30. I mean, Nico, he definitely gets to the 39.
Well, did they spot it at the 39? It's a question. Or well, was it at the 40? Did they misspot it on the last play is the question. So, I don't know if you heard, Dana Holgorsen got fired.
It made the rounds. Yeah. Actually, you know whose dad is the assistant running back, is the running back coach in Indianapolis is Donovan Smith.
Oh, yeah.
His dad's running back coach, and I introduced myself to him. We talked a little bit. You know, Donovan's going to be he's going to get his degree. He'll be graduate transfer eligible. You can transfer again if you graduated.
Well, plus you lost your coach. You can.
Yeah, I don't think he stays.
He's not there.
I don't think he stays. Well, I don't think so. His dad didn't say that, but he just said, you know, he said they've been talking about what would they do, you know, what is it going to look, what's it going to look like? They didn't know if Dana was going to be gone or not. I think he would stay if it was Dana.
Yeah.
But they've had to talk about that. So, you know, you got to see who the new coach is. I think Jeff Traylor from UTSA and Willie Fritz from Tulane are my two that I think would be great at Houston.
What would you think of Gary Patterson?
I think Gary Patterson would be.
Gary Patterson, I think, is right now a real possibility.
You think so?
Yep.
I think that would be a good one.
I would like Willie Fritz.
I think Willie Fritz has proven to be. I think Jeff Traylor knows how to. Jeff Traylor's brought some players in, and I think he's a very good coach. Willie Fritz, he's done it at multiple places. Willie Fritz is consistent as can be. He's not sexy, but Willie Fritz's teams win.
I think Patterson might do it for, he might do it on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Patterson wants to get back in pretty bad.
That's good. You'll have to.
You're going to have to. And, oh, but, you know, I was reading this morning in the Chronicle, they had an article about, well, the reason that I brought up, you know, I don't know if you heard that Dana Holgorsen was fired. The reason that I brought that up is because there's going to be a celebrity bartender at Damaris Barbecue tonight. So if anybody wants to go over there and hang out and have some drinks served by a celebrity, I'm not going to name him, okay? I'm not going to name him, but he's not busy. That's all I can tell you. He doesn't have much to do.
Oh, does he have a lot of? Did he just come into a windfall of cash?
Well, it's going to be over time.
Yeah,
not like they just.
It won't be a bulk 14 point whatever.
No.
What would you
on December 1st?
What would you guys think about this?
Let me finish this because the Chronicle did an article today on the pros and cons of the job. So, one of the pros was the money that's going to be paid on this job that, you know, Dana made over $4 million a year, and, you know, it's a good money job. I don't think that that's going to be
I think Dana took that money.
The facilities are a pro, which haven't been, but the new Memorial Hermann Football Operations Center, which won't be built. Here's the deal.
It will be a pro, but it's not currently.
It's not now. And when you're recruiting, you can show them pictures, and that's great. But
look at this rendering.
It's going to take a while for it to get here. And then another one was recruiting, where it says, you know, you don't have a backyard that includes the most fertile recruiting ground in the nation.
It's been irrelevant for decades.
First of all, everybody comes in here and picks players, you know, and grabs players from you. And you don't have the pick of the litter because Texas A&M, Oklahoma, LSU, they all come in here and grab the best players. You are going to get the second-tier players. Not that the second-tier players – listen, if you're a good evaluator, for years people have won football games
University
because they're better evaluators.
University of Houston with Bill Yeoman didn't get quote-unquote blue-chip players, and they won. They That's won right. the conference because they understood. Now, it's harder to find those guys. I mean it's – it's easier to find those guys, so those guys don't slip through the cracks anymore. But, you have to be a good evaluator. And you know what you have to do? You have to recognize players who are still growing and getting better. Like, if you don't know how to evaluate, you look for the finished product. That's one of the reasons that I'm working with Miami, with Alonzo and his group, with Scout Source, because my partner developed something where he can project how big players are going to be. A guy we found at Texas that they weren't recruiting was Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy, we had an athletic projection and size projection, he was going to be 30 pounds heavier than when he was at their camp. He's going to be a second-round pick this year. He's in the Senior Bowl. They weren't recruiting him. He was a two-star. I pointed out to Alonzo, think about this. Texas and Miami, over the last decade, headed into last year, had fewer first, second, or third-round offensive linemen drafted than Northern Iowa and Central Michigan combined. Texas and Miami. Well, Central Michigan and Miami had you know, a third, and a second drafted. That doesn't make any sense. Well, three of those guys were tight ends who gained weight, got bigger, so they're athletic. So if you know growth potential, you know, you're right. That's why a lot of these guys are from small schools like North Dakota State recognizes how to find talent, and they get the under-recruited guys.
That's a key. Well, not only that, but developing as well. So you have to have really, really good assistant coaches. So another point that they're making here,
I don't think those are all super pros, honestly.
Listen, Dana, one of the things that was Dana's downfall was that his recruiting class is ranked 102nd in all of the nation, which is last in Power 5. But they don't take into account the transfer portal, which can bring kids from Alabama and all over the place. It's a different world now. Now, it's great to have freshmen coming in that are going to be really good football players, but you can't tell how good the recruiting class is in before the transfer portal even opens. And here's another thing. They say in the Houston Chronicle, it says the roster. The next head coach will have some holes to fill, but the offensive skill positions return virtually intact with Donovan Smith, Parker Jenkins, Tony Mathis, Stacey Sneed, Sam Brown, Matthew Golden, Joseph Manjack. Are you guys, are you sure they're all coming back here?
No, I'm not.
No.
Because there's a rumor going around Matthew Golden hadn't gotten his money. And if he ain't gotten his money, bye-bye.
Absolutely.
You better make sure your NIL is on point with all your payouts and everything, because these guys, Matthew Golden is going to be assailed by SEC coaches. I promise you. If it's not a, well, according to Dana, it's already happened. I think he said that, right? I mean, he said it out loud that there's been a big offer. You better make sure your NIL's on point. You better make sure you have money coming in, and you better make sure these guys are getting paid, because if not, your top guys are going, especially with Dana gone now, this is when the vultures come flying
Here's
in.
The deal is,
it's illegal, but
I'm
going to
tell
happen.
You this. A lot of the NIL was because of Dana. A lot of the sweet holders, a lot of money that was coming in, a lot of money that came in for the program through his friendships with player with big boosters. It was because of Dana. This, one of the cons that's in the Chronicle is NIL. They're going to be really struggling for NIL money this year.
Unless Matt gets involved, which he has not been involved in football, but has been heavily involved in basketball. They're going to have to try to get Mac involved now, because his Tillman only gives a certain amount.
Right.
Like, Tillman doesn't give like 2 million. Tillman may have to be paying off.
No. Tillman gives to the university. Tillman didn't.
Tillman's not a big NIL guy.
Tillman's not a big NIL guy.
No. He's done some in basketball, but it's not like John Daspit has done more. I'll give you an example. Yeah. John Daspit's a really, really big
and
one,
Mac.
Too.
And Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac.
He
Daspit.
Loved Samson. He didn't like Dana. He did not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't give money.
He didn't give money.
That's why he might be willing to give money. They're going to need it from somewhere.
Yep. And then location and fan support are another downfall for the university. Listen, they're going to, and plus this $14.8 million and the lack of NIL money, they're going to have to get a coach in here that's going to be on the cheap pretty much. And he's going to have to be able to walk in here. I just don't. Gary Patterson is going to be, I don't know, I guess. Gary Patterson had a lot of success. He didn't toward the end of his TCU reign. And then the next year after he's gone, they go to the national championship. Sonny came in and got a lot of portal guys. A lot of portal guys.
Patterson could just be a little bit of a name right now. I don't know, because he didn't have a – I mean, he had a long run, but it wasn't super successful. It used to be he'd be down and then up. But Gary Patterson has done it before. I'd be excited about Gary Patterson being a Cougar.
I'd be really excited about Willie Fritz.
What do you think about – I'm going to throw a big, big, big name at you when we come back.
Okay.
A big, big, big name at U of H, and then I also want to get into some more of the Houston Texans, because I didn't get my thoughts on that one. And the college football playoffs, I mean, this is usually everything settles itself out with – this is as chaotic as it has ever been.
Yeah.
The last year of four is going to be total chaos.
Well, I mean, it's the opposite of chaos. It's everybody is winning that's supposed to win. Usually chaos, it's the opposite.
Yeah, well, in a way, I mean, chaos in this instance is chaos for the structure of finding four. This is one of the first years I remember. This is one of the first years ever that there's been more than three that deserved a legitimate shot.
Right. John Daspit is what you were just talking
about.
Yeah,
I was
him.
Just talking about John. John has been very critical in U of H's NIL, you know, with their NIL program with basketball and football, and it's something that really helps university. He went to school at U of H, got his law degree there, went to high school here, went to undergrad at University of Texas, got his law degree at University of Houston, and he gives back to the community. It's a community he serves when it comes to personal injury. People who have been injured, he's going to fight for you. I talked to somebody just this weekend who was involved in a big BP blast years ago, and we talked about the settlement process and how everything went and the injuries he had and how long it took to come back, and my gosh, everything that goes into it. That's why he works with people on those refinery blasts, offshore explosions. He's working with people with the astro world, you know, the loss of life and people who have been injured badly. Let John Daspit fight for you if you've been hurt, and he will get you the settlement that you deserve. It's 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights and fish.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, you said you had something for us.
What would you think of this name? Jimbo Fisher.
I had heard that Dana was going to go to Texas A&M, but I had not heard
Jimbo. Cougar fan said that.
Right?
Would you even consider that if he said he would take, he's getting $9 million per year is his buyout. He's going to get 19, I think, up front. He's going to get $9 million a year. So he's already paid. I was told he would probably consider this job for $3 million, or he would consider a job for $3 million.
There's no offset.
Meaning, you know, in the NFL, there's offset. So if you take another job, that money that was
going to
go. In
college football, there is too.
Is there?
Yes.
It depending on the buyout.
Yes.
For Jimbo, there is.
Depending on the wording in the contract, which they didn't have the wording in his contract.
So for Jimbo, he can start working tomorrow, and he can work on the cheap because relatively on the cheap because he's already getting his A&M money too. So what if he said, hey, I'll take the Houston job for $3 million a year? $3 million a year.
Hashtag Jimbo to
But
the
here's
H.
what I was told by somebody who knows him. And I have not heard that he's interested in Houston. But this person said he would want, if he took cheap there, he'd want a lot more money for his staff. Like, you know, he'd want to have, you know, millions for his staff to get the best recruit. I said, well, that's out. We're done. This conversation's done.
Actually, they had money for the staff. The staff, I think it was $6.5 million.
If Jimbo wants to get the best offense coordinator, defense coordinator, strength coach he can, you're probably looking upwards of $8 million.
Jimbo's going to have to realize it ain't the same at U of H as it is at A&M.
No, and the guy who I was talking to, he goes, isn't there a bunch of oil money at Houston?
No,
there's not.
You think Jimbo would come to Houston
and
let someone else call plays?
Yeah.
No.
What? Best offensive
coordinator. Why would you need, I know, why would you need a money?
You wouldn't have to pay the best offensive coordinator. Jimbo would take, if he's taking this job, he's back to calling
plays. I was
told
he wants to work, though. He wants to get back out and prove himself.
Well, I'm sure.
He didn't like the way it ended. Well, what do you mean you're sure? If I'm a coach, I saw this with my dad. The best thing for any coach that's been doing this forever is taking 2 years off.
Well,
it resets you. You see things differently. The stress level goes down. It would be
Frank Reich didn't learn that lesson. He got fired and was like, give me another job.
I know. And then he got fired again. And by the way, how brutal does that Carolina job look? Does that look like something anyone would want to take?
Yeah.
The owner's in there, MF and everybody. That's why everyone knew he was going to be gone. They got rid of your boy that you wanted for the Texans, Josh McCown. They got rid of him.
Wait. Don't mislead people saying I wanted Josh McCown.
People, the streets said you wanted him.
That's what the streets are saying.
That's what the streets said.
You were a McCown guy.
Okay. That's what the streets said. Okay. I gotcha.
So I'm looking at the spot. First of all, the spot was a bad spot by about half a yard. They're snapping it. The Texans are snapping it from about the spot where the previous play went. Yeah. So Jack called earlier. I will say, Nico Collins got to the 39 without question.
Right.
And they spotted it at the 39.5.
Or, even closer to the 40. It was, for those of you just joining us, the spot on the field goal, the 58-yard field goal that was missed, was probably a bad spot. Oh, well. Maybe they'll send it back to the league office. They could have used that extra yard, that's for sure. There's no question about it. They could have used that extra yard. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Denver, Lance, the biggest game of the year.
Okay. I guess we're done talking trash about Sean Payton.
Five in a row, and they do look better. They do look better. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you go by the first couple of weeks of the season, after that Miami game, everybody's like, "Oh, really, Sean Payton? You're gonna criticize what they did in Denver last year, and you lose, you give up a 70, you suck, Russell Wilson sucks, the whole team sucks, the organization sucks." Maybe they're okay. This is going to be, now the Texans are a 3-point favorite.
I was shocked when I saw that yesterday. I saw the line and I was like, how are the Texans? The Texans should be one to pick them.
Well,
to me.
And on a neutral field, they'd be pick them.
Well, no. On a neutral field, I think Denver right now, they're the hot team. I think Denver, no, I guess Denver would, I guess it'd be a pick 'em. Yeah, I guess three is a good number. It just doesn't look like something I'd want to
Well, the fan base was out there on Sunday. It was good. It was a good home field.
It
should be a good home field this week. I'm going. I'm going to scream.
Jacksonville was a – Jacksonville's a – they're a tough team. They've got a defense. I mean –
They're a real good team. Yeah. They're 8-3.
Yeah. God, it doesn't seem like they should be 8-3.
No, it doesn't, but they are.
I think it's because of some of their losses.
Well, do the Steelers feel like that to you?
No, that's the worst 8-3 team in the history of the sport.
It's 7-4, but
7-4.
They feel like they should be 4-7.
Either way, right. That is incredible.
They finally beat the streak of – they finally outgained an opponent, right?
Well, I think the streak was they finally got to 400-plus yards. Because the game before Matt Canada took over, they gained over 400 yards. Did not gain 400 yards when he was the coordinator. And then the game after he left, they went back to gaining over 400 yards. Of course, they still only scored 16 points against the Bengals defense we know ain't great. But that was the mark, getting over 400 yards, and they got there.
Yeah. Well, and it's all because of Matt Canada. So watch out for this. Listen, it is just a mosh pit. In the AFC, as far as that the last couple of spots go, who's going to get there? There's still plenty of football left, and you know this ref. I'm telling you, this referee crew was probably the worst we've seen.
Good
it
Lord,
it was the worst. They were awful. So a couple, and they were bad on both sides. The interception by Stingley should have been a hold.
They were bad officiating on both sides.
No, yes, they were awful. Yep. But for the most part, for the Texans, it was bad. The Tank Dell penalty was terrible.
Terrible.
There weren't two guys in motion. I don't know what the hell they're talking about there.
Nope.
And he didn't move upfield.
And I know you saw the picture. Like, there was not enough to overturn his feet not being
there. No.
There's not enough to overturn
it. Well, no, they ruled it incomplete. That's why.
Oh, that was ruled incomplete?
I thought it was ruled a catch. They ruled catch, then they said no. They called it off.
Yeah, I didn't have volume, but yeah. I saw it initially ruled a catch, so they ruled incomplete.
Incomplete.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah,
we've got pictures that show that he had both feet down.
They didn't have those pictures from ground level. It's still to this day, it's kind of shocking with the 4K and 8K. Well, it's 8K technology they have on a lot of cameras. The 8K technology and the money that's in NFL, how do we not get better shots of some of these plays?
Yeah.
How do we not have a sideline cam? There should be individual sideline cams. There should be a goal line cam. To this day, it's the most antiquated. The ball break the plane, it's the most antiquated. You know, there should be a chip in the football, and there should be
a line.
Something running the distance. Like, tennis can do it. Soccer can do it. Right. How the hell does the NFL not do it? They have more money than everybody.
So looking at this play again, this Tank Dell big play down the field that they called back because of two men in motion, there's only one guy in motion.
Yeah.
The only thing you could possibly say is Nico Collins wasn't set before Tank sprinted in motion, but they don't call. When do they ever call that?
That's ridiculous.
Because when they're trying to cheat the Texans.
Okay.
I mean, this,
when the fix is in,
crew, okay.
What about the Tavier Thomas second? What about the Steven Nelson? What about the Tank Dell along the sideline? Walker Little started three plays.
And they didn't call it.
Well before the ball was snapped.
I know. What was the Steven Nelson? What happened?
Nelson had a hold, a defensive hold that was like ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I'm trying to think if I saw that one.
He put his hand on the guy's shoulder, took it off, and they called holding. There was nothing there, and they called it. It was in Jacksonville territory, so it might not have felt as big because it didn't stop a scoring opportunity or whatever. But you're looking at it like, how is that a penalty?
This crew was the worst referee game we've seen this year. The worst referee, and I'm not going to go hyperbole and the worst ever, but man, that was garbage. They were garbage on Sunday. What did you think? Well, when we come back, let's talk a little A&M when we get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Speaking of A&M, let's talk about dipping. A lot of those people dip. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're Aggies. They dip, okay? This is what you do if you live in College Station. There's not much else to do. You sit around and you just dip, all right? So here's the deal is if you are somebody who dips, you like to sit around. And don't tell me that Aggies don't dip. Aggies dip, okay? Don't stop already with that. If you're a hunter, if you fish, if you you don't have to do any of it. If you play baseball, whatever the case may be, you might like to dip. Well, if you like to dip, you're really endangering yourself. I gave a canister, five pack, to a guy who goes hunting, and he says, I dip when I go hunting. And I said, well, take this instead. Just yesterday I did this. And I gave him a five pack of citrus. And there's all kinds of different, I don't know what you like. Do you like citrus? Do you like mint? Do you like dark fire? Do you like tobacco flavor? All of those. They've got them all at 975dip.com. If your wife is in the car with you right now, and she's hearing this, she's going to say, you should do this because it's not dangerous, because it doesn't stink, because you don't spit, because it's not, it's got CBD oil and hemp. It doesn't have tobacco. It's not dangerous like you're doing. So stop already with that and go to 975dip.com or stop by a select CBD American Shaman store to pick it up. And stop with the dipping and go to 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN. 97.5 and 92.5.
It's official. I'll be watching University of Houston offensive tackle Patrick Paul at the Senior Bowl. He has accepted his Senior Bowl invite along with Nelson Caesar on the defensive side. So two Houston Cougars will be in the Senior Bowl this year. By the way, did you see they're allowing underclassmen to be in the bowl games? So we're going to have underclassmen who come out. These games are going to be packed with talent now, top-end talent. And that will really help East-West Shrine game too. So. But Patrick Paul, left tackle from Houston.
Guys who are leaving, guys who are
underclassmen
that say they're leaving?
Can
also go back. You've got a, there's a window that you can go back.
There's a window, yeah. You can't play it's in the Senior Bowl.
It's after the bowl, I think.
No. It's like January 14th, something like that. Because that's when the first mock draft. We can't do a mock draft until all the players have declared. The NFL won't let us, so. And the Senior Bowl is late January. It got moved back a full week, so it's going to be late January, early February this year. So, but congrats to Patrick Paul. I knew he had been invited, and I haven't looked at him yet, but he'll probably be this week. So, interested in seeing him.
All right. So the Aggies hire Mike Elko.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are not Jimbo-like numbers. As a matter of fact, I just saw I had a copy of his contract here. He gets his post. So he's got a base.
Did somebody
of
take
seven.
A picture of his contract?
He's got a base of seven. Yeah, annual base seven. Yeah,
did Mike Elko take a picture and tweet it out?
I think the Aggies did that.
Key contract terms: postseason incentives, $1 million if he makes
the
playoff.
He's got $7 million base contract at Duke. Oh, you mean at Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Oh, not when he was.
No,
he's
more
like,
double.
Wait, what?
He more than doubled it.
Seven is pretty sporty considering, well, I mean, what you're paying Jimbo, I guess you almost have to come in at that.
If he makes
Aggies, y'all screwed this up. So, I mean, honestly, you guys, the flex that people, there were Aggies on Twitter. This is not a majority, but there were some Aggies on Twitter saying, Lance, like right after the buyout, we can afford, it was like a flex that they bought out Jimbo for $77 million. Like, this is something we can afford to do. This is the money that the Aggies have. That's not the flex you think it is.
Well,
you just did the worst contract in the history
it's
of
not
professional
their money.
Sports.
They're like, we can buy ourselves out of all our mistakes. I mean, if you're not paying it up, I would probably go, look, we're not poor. We're not poor. Look
but
at us.
I guarantee you the same people that would say that, look at Elko as a disappointed. They won't say it publicly. Well, you guys already wasted all your ammunition on Mark Stoops. Yeah. Making sure that you didn't get Mark Stoops. So once Stoops was gone, you could no longer be outraged. You played that card. Outrage over Stoops' card was already played, who I think is a pretty good coach, by the way, Mark Stoops.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. And listen, you go 7-5 in the SEC
in
with
a basketball
Kentucky,
school.
Or 7-5 at Duke in the ACC. Which one's better?
I mean, probably
Elko was 7-5 this
yeah,
year.
Elko is, yeah, no. Well, who was the first choice?
Right.
Mark Stoops. Once you're able to get rid of him.
Not for the fan base, apparently.
No, once you're able to get rid of him, you got your guy, Mike Elko.
So, $7 million base.
Lanning wouldn't come. They reached out to Lanning from what I was told. Lanning is – the money and the facilities are great for Dan Lanning.
And there,
and he
well,
thinks that yeah. I think they believe the Big Ten is a very reasonable conference to win in.
Yeah, sure. It's better than it's easier than the SEC.
It is.
A million if he makes a playoff. 1.5 if he advances to the quarterfinals. 2 million if he advances to the semis.
Wow.
2.5 if he gets to the championship game, and 3.5 if he wins the national championship.
That guy's gonna make like $20 million if he wins the national championship.
No. It's not.
Oh, it's total.
It's yeah.
Oh, those aren't separate numbers.
Those aren't separate. Okay. No, you don't get 1 plus 1.5 plus 2. No.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. It's three. He would make $10.5 million if he wins the national championship. It's good. That's good. And actually, it should be incentive based. And what? He's got a 6-year deal. This is a 6-year deal. So you don't have to extend him if he beats Alabama next year. Hey, Aggies, you do not have to extend him if he happens to win on the last second field goal against Alabama, because that is your go-to move.
Stop it.
Stop doing
come
that.
To, like Ross Bjork's talking about what this job is supposed to be. You don't have to give a new contract to your coach for winning an SEC game. I know it's Alabama, but if that's what you believe, that should be expected.
$100 million guaranteed. Give it to him now. Hurry.
Why?
Like, why? You just did the worst contract in the history.
You're already paying him to be that.
It's the worst coach's contract in the history of professional sports.
Well, it's pretty
paying
bad.
$77 million. It's the worst. Doing nothing. Yeah.
It's the worst. Yes. As soon as you fired him, you made it the worst.
Stop it. You're paying him to beat Alabama. You don't have to give him more after he does it.
I know. But you're paying him to do his job.
Yeah.
Just because he wins one. Like, is this the first upset anyone's ever seen?
No.
Upsets happen.
It happens.
You should expect your team to upset some.
You're
people
not named four jobs, so expect him to beat Alabama at home. And he doesn't get extra for it.
With that said, I think Mike Elko's a good fit at Aggieland. Former coach. I think he gets what Texas A&M is about. I think he's a good defensive coach. I think he did a good job at Duke, making them very competitive. I think he's a good job. Is he a headliner? No, but I don't really think there were going to be headliners available that you really wanted. And the Jimbo buyout thing has to have some impact on who you could go after. Maybe not.
I mean, $7 million. Why? You'll pay me? Are you kidding?
$7 million is pretty
strong. Like they're cheap.
No. Like, $7 million is pretty strong.
Yeah. $7 million is pretty damn good, and I like that it's incentive. How about incentive based? How about you perform and you
seems like they've learned a lesson. They've learned a lesson. It seems like
it seems like they may have. It seems like they just may have just a little bit. We'll
now
see.
We know the difference is Jimbo was a national championship winning coach, so and he was at Florida State, not Duke, so you had to entice him to come, and that's fine the first time, and then you had to double down, and it was an awful mistake, and now. You've got Mike Elko. Look, I didn't go after Joe Espada. I just thought it was funny he had to put that jersey on over his suit when he was being introduced. Look, Mike Elko, not every picture has to involve you in that hat. The hat with the suit, it's an awful look. Have you seen the pictures?
Well,
no one else there is wearing a hat.
No, I know, but you.
The ball cap with the suit in the
internet. There are some people that need a ball cap with a suit.
No, understood. But put on the cowboy hat then. He could have worn the cowboy hat.
Yeah, but that's so, come on.
What? The Aggies would have loved it.
No, don't do that. If you're not a cowboy, don't put a cowboy hat on.
Could he have put on one of those white jumpsuits that the Aggies wear?
Just an Aggie cap with the Aggie logo is fine.
I don't know, man. Those pictures are going to be forever, and he's got to have all those
what's
pictures.
What's his hair like?
I don't know. I don't know what Mike Elko's hair looks like.
See, because I've heard this. You give advice to people that need it badly, that are follicly challenged. If you need Doc Linville, it's okay to wear a hat with a suit.
He is.
It's okay.
I'm looking at pictures of I guess he was introduced at halftime of a Duke basketball game. He's a guy who a hat's necessary.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. His wife said, "I don't want those pictures forever." With you with no hat on. Put a hat on.
Well, he's going to have wear a hat walk around with a non-hatted head sometime.
No, he's always going to wear a hat. He's always going to wear a hat.
Tell you what's going to be important, though, for A&M is Elko's going to have to play ball a little bit more than Jimbo Fisher. There are certain things that I was told that Ross Bjork wants to happen, and he even talked about that at his press conference. Everything he said at his press conference was directly directed at Jimbo because Jimbo wouldn't He wants the coach to be involved at everything. You know, going to women's volleyball games, going to being to really be part of Aggie Nation, be part of the spirit of Aggie Land. A lot of coaches would think that's corny for them to have to do that, but I think that's important to Ross Bjork, is he wants a coach to do that. He wants a coach that is willing to listen and not, you know, Jimbo, I guess, was, when you make that much money, he's coach for Nick Saban. He was going to be the boss of the building. He didn't want to listen.
He coached with Saban and Bobby Bowden.
Yeah. He didn't want to listen to what people had to say. He's like, this is my program and this is that. Mm-hmm. And I think Bjork wants to be more involved. So this is going to be interesting to see behind the scenes how this takes place at Texas A&M. And then, of course, at Houston, I'm really interested to see how Houston shapes up as well. You know, when we come back, my son put me on a podcast. Paul George, who is one of the biggest fans in the world of Alperen Şengün.
Hey, don't shirk, we, shirk, don't.
If you were here for pre-show meeting,
cut me off at the knees with a ship talk. Ship. Talk.
Yeah,
ship I know. Talk I'm is just. Se- I'm setting you up here.
Well, it's not.
It's at 8:30.
It's at 8:30.
Let me finish this. Oh. And Alperen Şengün was on with Paul George, and he had some interesting things that we will feature at 8:30. What? See? No. That's how that was planned. That's
okay.
What I was going to say.
Okay, sure.
So make sure you stick around. It's called Forward Promoting.
Oh, is that what it was?
Is that what it is?
Radio.
Okay.
That's how you do radio.
Okay.
This is why we were nominated for Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Are you? Did
got
you?
No votes.
Oh, yeah. What happened to that?
People don't like us. If you really want to know the truth.
Understood.
No, we got some.
No, I get
didn't.
That. Not, I get people
apparently
not liking you.
We didn't. We got Lance Berkman. We're out already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't care for it. But they've been around, had number one shows. Yeah.
People don't like you?
25 years? Yeah.
No, people don't like us.
757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, the people like us, but
the
other
voters.
People who are in radio world don't
what
like
you,
us.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what? Twitch likes us better when Doc Manavis is here. She does like that, right? We've seen that.
She wanted to see what they were saying.
Yes, she doesn't want to see what they're saying. No. She does not want to see.
Well, they had, I mean, I struggle to call them compliments, but they were favorable. It depends on how you take
yes,
things.
Yes, right. In a perv kind of way. Yes, they were very complimentary. Let's talk about Doc Manavis and what she does, though, every single day. She is, if you've got BPH, your symptoms that affect the prostate, about 50% of guys in their 50s, and as many as 90% in their 70s and 80s. You can't start and stop. You got to get up in the middle of the night multiple times. You can't finish. Okay, all of these things are happening. You might even have ED because you have an enlarged prostate. If you have PAE, an enlarged prostate, then Doc Manavis can take care of that for you with an IV, not with surgery. Do not get surgery if you have an enlarged prostate. Please, you go to 975prostate.com right now. Set up an appointment with her. It's painless. It takes about 45 minutes. It is the best process you could possibly have. Do not. And 100% of her patients with erectile dysfunction have complete resolution. So if you're looking for the best way to get out of that enlarged prostate, 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just plopped down like a little old turd, just right down in a bowl.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.